Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, beginning in verse 7. "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things." Heavenly Father, once again we open your precious word. Jesus told us that the Word of God is life, and that we should come to the Lord every day for bread from heaven. And Lord, as the song goes, feed me till I want no more. I'm asking, Lord, that you would satisfy the hunger and thirst in the hearts of those listening. Lord, we need more of Jesus. Lord, we need a touch of the Spirit. We need your presence in our lives. We need to know that you hold our hand and walk with us. Please comfort us today. And we're careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, you're worthy. Lord, you are worthy to be praised. And I thank you, Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In studying the book of Daniel and other prophetic books, such as the book of Revelation, maybe the book of Ezekiel, we see different things that perhaps we don't understand. In this chapter, we have different beasts, a lion, a bear, a leopard, and then this other beast, which there's not really a description, but it's dreadful and terrible, etc. Ezekiel saw a wheel within the middle of a wheel, and we sort of understand that it's talking about the moving of the Spirit, but we really don't understand the imagery. But perhaps especially the book of Revelation, people read and they don't understand. They know it's about the end times, they know it's about the tribulation period, but they really don't understand. But I'm here to tell you today that all prophecy, if it's plainly spoken, or it's symbols that perhaps we don't quite understand, or whatever fashion that prophecy in the Bible is found, it always points to Jesus Christ. It always shows us Christ, or some event leading up to His coming, the first or the second. The object of prophecy, and really the object of the entire Word of God, is the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, the book of Revelation is filled with many different kinds of symbols. A great dragon in one part, bowls and seals and vials being opened, different things happening. But the book of Revelation starts out with John having a vision of Jesus Christ. His hair was white, his feet shone like brass, etc. And throughout the book of Revelation, there are passages that describe heaven and us in heaven praising God. And at the end of the book of Revelation, in chapter 19, we see Jesus Christ returning to this earth on a white horse, and we are following on other white horses. And he comes to set up his kingdom here on earth, and Satan is put down, and God's kingdom is pictured as lasting forever. Many strange symbols, but the focus of Revelation is Jesus Christ. In fact, the title of that book is The Revelation of Jesus Christ. Not the revelation of the Antichrist, not the revelation of the tribulation, not the revelation of this or that, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. And obviously the word revelation means something that is revealed. But in this book, the book of Daniel, and perhaps in this chapter and in chapter 2, we get an understanding of what true prophecy is all about. I've mentioned the great vision that Nebuchadnezzar had in chapter 2 several times before, and I said that it was the key to all end times prophecy. And I said that this chapter, chapter 7, tells the same story as the image in chapter 2. We mentioned the four beasts, the lion, the bear, the leopard, and then this fourth beast. But as you continue to read in Daniel chapter 7, you find the same thing that you found in chapter 2. There was this great image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, the head of gold, the breast of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs iron, feet part iron and clay. But then, at the end of the vision, there was a stone, a great stone from heaven, that pictures Jesus Christ, that came and destroyed that image, symbolically destroying and putting down all human government. And that stone increased in size and filled the whole earth. And we understand that that is a symbol, a prophetic symbol, that Christ will return to this earth and set up his kingdom, which will never pass away. But here in this chapter, chapter 7, we find the same thing. And I'll get to that in just a little bit. Now this fourth beast, the first beast, the lion, symbolized the kingdom of Babylon. The second beast, a bear, was the Medo-Persian Empire. The leopard was a symbol of Alexander the Great and the Grecian Empire. But this fourth beast, we understand from the Word of God and from history that this fourth beast is the Roman Empire. But in chapter 2, when we looked at the image, the Roman Empire was pictured as two legs of iron. And we get one other nugget of information, that the feet were part iron and part clay. But in this chapter we see the same message, the same forward look at history. Remember that Daniel lived before Christ. But in this chapter we see a little bit more information about each kingdom. So let's read it again and see what other new information God gives us. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. Remember, the legs of that image in chapter 2 were made out of iron. But it says, it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And we said last time that horns are a symbol of heads of state or governments or something of that nature. But this beast had 10 horns. And in verse 8, I considered or looked at and pondered the horns. And behold, while I was watching, Daniel said, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. So you have this beast. We don't know what kind of beast it is. It's a nondescript beast. Not a lion, not a bear, but some sort of beast. And it had 10 horns, or 10 kingdoms, or governments, or something of that nature. But while Daniel was looking, another little horn sprouted up. And this horn destroyed 3 of the others. This leader, this king, this emperor, whatever he was, came up in addition to the 10 existing horns, and then he destroyed 3 of the existing horns. And we understand that this little horn is a futuristic occurrence. We understand that the Roman Empire existed and has passed away, in fact, but it had 10 divisions, or 10 regions, or something. And again, to us, that's history. But this little horn, this 11th horn, this 11th king or emperor or something, he's described in this chapter, and Daniel describes him again later on. He's talked about in Revelation, and other prophets in other books make some reference to him. This king or this emperor or this kingdom has not yet come on the world scene. But we know this man as the Antichrist. And it says, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now, I want to talk about the Antichrist. I want to talk about the tribulation period, but I want to do so later. I'd like to finish this chapter. But in verse 9, Daniel's vision goes on. He said, and again, if you understand chapter 2, that the great stone came from heaven and destroyed that image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. If you understand that, then verse 9 makes sense. He says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, the thrones or kingdoms of the world, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And this description is that of God the Father. But it says in verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. This describes God the Father sitting on his throne. Daniel saw the Lord, just as Isaiah did. But Daniel says in verse 10 that thousands and thousands and 10,000s worshiped God and praised him and ministered to him and adored him. If you will, please turn with me to Revelation. Chapter 5 of Revelation. I really don't have time to read it all. But it talks about there being a book that was sealed and no one could open it. It says no one was worthy to open the book. In verse 4, John says, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereupon. But the next verse says that Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. But then it talks about worship. The 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb and began to worship him. They began to sing a new song, it says, because Jesus Christ is worthy. For thou wast slain, it says, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Remember, I said at the beginning of the program that all prophecy ultimately points to Jesus Christ. And here we have the gospel mentioned. This book, whatever this book was, nobody could open it. No one was worthy to open it. But it says that Jesus Christ was worthy to open that book. And there was a reason why he was worthy. Not because he's God. We know that Jesus is God. He's God come in the flesh. We understand that. But it says that he was worthy to open the book because he was slain. Because he hung and died on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood for the remission of sin. His blood satisfies God's wrath against sin. We're redeemed to God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look just a couple of verses down. We read just a bit ago about the four beasts and the 24 elders worshiping the Lord. But then they begin to worship Jesus Christ. They were worshiping the Father. But then they and everyone else begins to worship Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 11, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing." And in the next verse, they began to recite that again. "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever." I don't know about you, but that makes me shout. That makes me get happy. And that's something that you and I are going to see when we get to heaven. But jumping back to Daniel chapter 7, reading again verse 10. "A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened." But let's jump to verse 13. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory, and a kingdom, and all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! I am so happy to be his servant. I am so glad that Jesus came to me. He died for me 2,000 years ago, but he came looking for me and rescued me and delivered me from all my sin. I'm so happy to serve him. Let's turn quickly to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? This psalm to me is precious. I wish I had time to read the whole thing. But in verse 6, it says, "Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." In the last verse, verse 12 says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Philippians chapter 2, a very familiar passage. He starts in verse 5 saying, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." And of course, this is talking about the incarnation, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, I've read from Psalms, I've read from Philippians and Revelation, but in Daniel we find the same thing that Revelation and Philippians and Psalms says. We find the same story, the story that God in heaven sent Christ to the earth to die for our sins. And one day he's coming back to set up his kingdom that will never pass away. Again, if you read prophetic books, prophetic passages in the Bible, and you find symbols that you don't understand, that's fine. As long as you understand that the true point to all prophecy and the correct interpretation of all prophecy is that it shows you Jesus Christ. Now, we've read about the leopard, we read about the beast with the 10 horns, and the 11th horn that comes up is the Antichrist. Obviously, the leopard doesn't picture Christ, and for sure, the Antichrist, the man of sin, isn't identified with Jesus Christ. But all of these events, but all of these countries that are mentioned, Babylon, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, and the kingdom of the Antichrist, these all lead up to the second coming. They play an integral part as they've stood against Israel, and when the Antichrist comes, he's going to try to do what Hitler could not do, which is to completely destroy the Jewish nation. But he will fail. The Antichrist that we read about in the book of Revelation will fail. Because again, as I said, in Revelation 19, Jesus comes back. Jesus comes back to the earth to put down all unrighteousness and to depose the kingdom of the Antichrist, this little horn. And Jesus, when he returns, will set up his kingdom that will last forever. And his kingdom will not pass away. Old Paths Tabernacle is an evangelistic outreach of the Joey Kelly Broadcast. If you like good singing and good preaching and are looking for Sunday night services to attend, please consider yourself invited. If you're coming from New Orleans East Bank, take the GNO or the Crescent City Connection to the West Bank Expressway and get off at Manhattan. Go through the Harvey Tunnel and turn right at the red light, which is MacArthur. Go 2 blocks and turn right at the fire station onto 8th Street. Go 3 blocks and turn right. Old Paths Tabernacle is right on the corner, meeting in Waymaker Ministry Sanctuary, 804 First Avenue in Harvey. If you're coming from the Huey or Boutte, get on the elevated expressway, then get off at MacArthur and turn left at the light. Remember, our services start at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, and I hope to see you there. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.